This morning, I would invite you to turn with me to the Epistle of Ephesians in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2, if you've done any witnessing whatsoever, concerning salvation, you've probably been in this chapter, amen. You can stand with me if you'd like to, in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. And to rest yourself as well. And we're going to begin our reading in the first verse of Ephesians chapter number 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, notice the way that wording is, in case I don't get to it this morning. He's speaking about what God has done in verse 4, 5, and 6. And here he says in verse 7, that in the ages to come. In other words, verse 7 reveals to us why God did what he did. Okay? Why that he quickened us and give us life, and why that he loved us, and why that he raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places. Why? That in the ages to come, he might show forth or show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Thank God for that. The effects of salvation will never find an end because they are eternal. The ages to come, the worlds to come, the unending future. God says, I'm going to be showing the exceeding riches of my grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We'll stop our reading there and ask that you'd pray for us and with us today as we preach the Word of God. I pray, dear Lord, that you will help us today. We are certainly in a desperate place. It is so desperate that unless you help me, unless, Lord, you give us that special unction and power and liberty and anointing, dear Father, that divine enablement, that where I stand will certainly be a place of failure, Lord, in the energy of the flesh. I pray that you will use us, Lord, in a special, spiritual, supernatural way, not for our recognition, not for our reputation, but for the glory of our wonderful Savior. We thank you, Lord, for this good congregation that has assembled here this morning, now anticipating the Word of God. I pray that you will use us, dear Father, to communicate your heart. Lord, I pray that we will be receptive and responsive to thy word. Thank you for our visitors being with us today, and we trust that, Lord, they feel at home and that they are in a friendly church. But more than that, we want them to know that Jesus loves them and has a big, big plan for their life. And Lord, if there's any here today among us that are not saved, visitor or member, that are not saved, truly born again, we pray the Holy Spirit of God would do what only the Holy Spirit can do, bring conviction upon their heart and make it real to them what they need, so that they can do something about their lost condition. Have your way now, and may this service yield eternal and permanent fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You can be seated. I was reading this week an illustration, or it turned into being an illustration, of a young couple that they were lost initially, and they had just gotten saved. And they weren't real smart, if you would say that. They were referred to in the illustration as somewhat of an illiterate couple. And the man's name was Dave, and his wife's name was Carol. And they had just gotten saved and started going to church, was baptized, started going to a local church. And they wanted to get involved in all of the activities they possibly could get involved in that church. And I believe that's so with everybody that's saved. God saves you to serve Him. Amen. If you have no desire to serve Him, then you might ought to question whether you really got saved or not. That's the truth. Salvation that does not produce service is something wrong. There's something wrong with that. Amen. The first thing that Paul prayed when he got saved, and according to Timothy, Paul is an example to all that should hereafter believe. You can look at his example and follow that. Well, what is his example? Soon as he gets saved, the first thing he says, Lord, what will you have me to do? I mean, immediately, just got saved, and he was made aware. Without a preacher, without anything, he was already made aware of the fact God has something for me to do. Serving a new master, amen, will involve ministry. Amen. I thought about this little thought yesterday. Church is not a charity. Church is a ministry. Big difference on that. But this couple desired to be involved in the activities of their church, and so they began to attend Sunday school, and they weren't missing Sunday school, and they were just involved in everything that was going on there at the church. And so the men of the church was having a special day, and so Dave decided he'd go. He wants to be involved in everything. So when he shows up, he discovers that all of the men of the church had on a specific colored shirt. And he thought, well, I don't have that. I need to get one. So he comes home and he tells his wife about the colored shirts that they had. So she digs through and finds him one in the house. And so he goes back again on a second visit. And there they have those shirts on again. And he's got his on. But he noticed something they had that he didn't have. On their shirt was just a little, I guess it was probably just a church logo or a little church identification, such and such Baptist church or whatever. So he came home, and when he came home, his wife noticed that he was down. He was kind of discouraged. And when she asked him, inquiring to him, what's wrong, honey? What did things not go well? He said, oh yeah, it went really good, other than, he said, my shirt didn't have on it what theirs had on it. And so she, trying to figure out what she could put on it, because he couldn't remember what was put on it. He's got my problem. I can't remember. And so she was just thinking, now what can I put on his shirt, sew on it or write on it or whatever, just so that he'll fit more in with the church. I believe everybody gets saved wants to fit in with the church. Amen. And so anyway, she was looking around, looking through the house, and she looked out the window, and across the street was a little store, and in the window of that store was a sign. And she said, I'll use that. And so she takes those three words and puts that on his shirt. Well, he goes back to a third meeting where the men were, and they all had the same shirt on and the same logo and all of that. But yet, he stood out different again. Except this time when he come home, he wasn't down and defeated. He was joyful and just excited. And when asked by his wife how it went and why he was so joyful, he said, "Everybody loved my shirt." And said that it was a perfect fit. And you know what three words that she wrote on his shirt? And I want to use that for my message this morning. Under new management. Thank God, everybody that gets saved is under, hallelujah. I read that blessed me all over more than anywhere else, amen. Under new management. Don't you like that? And I thought about that very term, under new management. Now, new management probably is not going to mean much to you if you like your old management. If you like your old life and your old master. Now, if you're in love with sin, you're not going to be impressed too much with the message this morning. But I'm glad that God offers to everybody that's saved, not offers, but he is become our new manager and our new master. But I thought about that term, under new management. It speaks to me that when I see that sign, and we've all saw that sign in places, under new management. That tells me that there's a change of ownership. Amen. Could I wear a shirt that says under new management? And if somebody were to inquire about what that means, could you take a few minutes and tell what it means to you? Under new management. New ownership. Amen. Oh yeah, when you get saved, you become the property of the Lord Jesus. You're not your own anymore, the Bible says. You're bought with the price. When you see that term or that sign under new management, it's telling you that the old manager is no longer in charge and is no longer calling the shots. Amen. I like that. Amen. But not only does it suggest to us under new ownership, but also new operation. When that sign is put up or is worn on a shirt under new management, it's telling us that we don't do the things that the old owner wants us to do anymore. We're doing what the new owner wants us to do. So there is a new or a change of operation. Amen. It's more than just a sign on the front of a store or on a shirt, but there's new operation inside. Things are done differently on the inside. You can go in a place that says new management and expect things to be different. Is that not right? Well, when a person is born again, I'm telling you, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. What does that verse say about new converts? Under new management. Praise God. I thought about this just now. There in the Gospel of Luke, there was a man, we don't even know his name, but we refer to him as the demoniac of Gadara. Everybody heard that? Man, demon possessed, and they tried to tame him, and they tried to put fetters on him. They tried to lock him down and you know, tried to think that reformation and all of that and regulation would be what's needed. But they did that, and he would break the chains, and he'd break the fetters, and they couldn't tame him. They couldn't do anything with him. But you know what happened? He lived in the tombs among the dead, and he would cut himself, and he was running through with no clothes on. Amen. That's usually a sign of demon possession when people take their clothes off. Amen. That's usually a true sign. That's right. God's people, when you get saved, you put clothes on, and when you're following the devil, you're taking them off. Amen. But make the long story short, he got saved. Jesus, you know, brought the disciples, and they came across the sea there and docked there on his shore. He came out and met the master, and he got saved by the grace of God. And so when the people of the city came out and saw the situation and saw the scene, they didn't see a demon-possessed man running through, cutting himself, untamable, a nuisance to society. But rather they saw a man, the Bible says, was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. You know what he could have put on his shirt? Under new management, amen. He could have said, the devil don't live here no more. The old manager's not telling me what to do. The old manager is not calling the shots. I have a new master that really does love me, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. You can go to Luke chapter 19. And I didn't mean to get into that, but there's just story after story where you can find people that their lives was a wreck because of the old management. And they met the master. They got saved. And as a result, their life was radically and permanently and wonderfully changed by the grace of God. Oh, Zacchaeus was one such man. Oh, yeah. He went from stealing to giving. That's usually a good sign somebody's got saved. Yeah, right. Hey, man. What about in John chapter 4? The woman at the well. The Samaritan woman that was so wicked that even her own people didn't want anything to do with her. And she had to come and draw water in the middle of the day because she had such a despicable reputation that nobody wanted to have nothing to do with her. But when she showed up at the well in the heat of the day, there sat a stranger. She didn't know who he was, but he knew all about her. Hey, his name was Jesus, and he saved her. Amen. He satisfied her. He changed her. He sent her back into the town and said, go tell them to come and see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Amen. Is not this the Christ? You know what she could, you know what, basically, if you summarized her testimony when she went back into town, Brother Brian? Under new management. Nicodemus could have said the same thing. Under new management. And all the way through, the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, he was called before salvation. That could be the summary of his testimony. Under new management. How many in here today could say, that's me, preacher? There used to be an old manager in my life that wrecked my life, ruined my life, had a desire to take me to hell. But thank God I met Jesus along the journey as Sister Pridmore sung, Jesus passed by. Like, do you remember that day? Do you remember when he passed by when you wasn't looking for him? You didn't have him on your mind, but he had you on his mind. And he knew he didn't need a GPS. He did not need to call in to some psychic network. He didn't need no help finding you. He knew exactly where you were. He knew what you were. But anyway, praise God, I like that. It identifies new owner, a change of ownership, a change of operation, and also thirdly, a change of offer. You can expect to be treated differently when you come in here. Amen. Change of goods and services provided and treatment. Under new management should be a term that describes your salvation experience. Under new management. And you know, I didn't know any better when I was lost. I liked my old manager because I didn't know no better. And by the way, you did too. That's why you did everything he told you to do. That's why you went where he wanted you to go. Amen. Did what you he wanted you to do. Drink what you, he wanted you to drink. And smoke whatever he wanted you to smoke. Amen. And all of that. Amen. Why? You liked your old manager. But it'll be a happy day in your life as a lost person when you realize, and I hope the message today, God will use it to help you realize, your old manager cannot satisfy you. Cannot satisfy you. Amen. But I want to go right down through these verses, and I probably won't get done this morning. So don't go into cardiac arrest on me. Amen. So we may finish it tonight. But here's what I want to look at, all right? I want to look at, number one, the past management. Verse 1, 2, and 3. Past management. Paul goes into talking about these people that are saved. He's pulling up their past in verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. He's bringing up the old calendar of their life. Can I ask you this morning, do you have an old calendar? Do you have an old life? Or is your old life still your life? Amen. Oh, when you get saved, God makes a change in your life. And the Bible is so clear on that. Where there's no change, there is no conversion. I've said it this way, put it in my own words, my friend, that a salvation that does not change your life has not changed your destiny. Isn't that true? Now that's simple for us here, but you don't have to go far from where I'm standing right here and knock on a few doors, and you're going to find out there's a lot of people in this part of the country, amen, well, they're everywhere really, they'll tell you straight up that they're saved, they never go to church, they never have a desire to please God, they never want to know God's will for their life, they never read the Word of God, they never pursue righteousness. They never are walking in paths of righteousness. They're not interested in fellowshipping with God's people, but yet they'll tell you they're saved. That whole list I just gave is in the Scripture, and it contradicts such false professions. Amen? That's right. But our past management, if you're taking notes, let me just make mention of this real quickly. I'm going to ask you this question. Why is there a need for new management? Have you thought about that? Why is there a need for new management in your life? Well, I just jotted down a couple of things. One, because the old manager's done a sorry job. Yeah. Usually when there's a new management sign up in a store, a restaurant, or whatever, usually they're identifying that this old manager was bad for business. The old manager was doing a bad job treating people badly. Hey, could I give you something right here? Right here is a history report. Right here is a track record of how the devil has treated his servants from Genesis right on through. And he's shown to be a bad manager, a selfish manager, a godless manager he is, amen, a destructive and a deceptive and a lying manager. Amen. So when you see the sign, new management, it's telling you, ladies and gentlemen, hey, we've got a new manager and he's going to treat you right. Boy, my old manager wouldn't treat you right because he didn't treat me right. Amen. I thought he was doing pretty good there for a while, you know. He said, follow me and I'll make you popular and, you know, and offer me all kinds of pleasures of sin, which he does. But you know what? He don't tell the whole story and he don't show you the whole picture. He just shows you just enough to keep you interested. He shows you just enough to keep you fascinated with his offers. He won't show you when it's over and said and done and the smoke is clear. And the Bible said, and when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. The devil don't want you to know that. Well, why do you, as a lost person, why do you need new management? Because your old manager. The manager you got now, the devil, the prince and power of the air is revealed here. He's ruining your life. Amen. And you know what? He is so deceptive. He is so powerful that he can ruin a person's life and still talk them into being addicted to the very thing that's ruining their life. Isn't that something? Alcoholics, they know that that's ruining their life. But they live every minute to get another drop. Those people, my friend that's hooked on drugs, amen, they think, man, this is it. And it's killing them. It's killing their life. It's destroying them. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, they can't wait to get some more. And in our country, I think somebody was telling me that it was on CNN. Who was that was telling about Rogersville on CNN? Miss Amber, what was it? Top 10? Was that in the nation? Top 10 in the nation of prescription drug addiction. People on prescribed pills. Are you listening? Amen. And they're everywhere. And our churches are full of them. And they think that it's okay just because it came across a counter. They think it's okay just because, my friend, that it comes across through legal means, far as from a doctor through a pharmacy to your pocket. Amen. But oh, I want to tell you, dear friend, listen, that's just as wrong. Listen, far as I'm concerned, that's just as wrong as smoking marijuana and drinking a Bud Dumber and a Miller Lowlife. Amen. It is. It's just as wrong. Say amen right there. Brother Massengale, who just preached our revival, he told it that he likes to ride horses, and one of his horses threw him one day, and he crushed both of his ankles. I mean, just destroyed both of his ankles. Well, of course, the doctor put him on, he named off three or four different things, you know, pain pills and whatnot. And he saw what was happening. He said the more he took those, the more he hurt. When they got to wearing off, when they would wear off, you know, while they was in his system, man, you feel like you could conquer the world. But when they started wearing off, his joints and all hurt worse, which demanded that he would have to take more, which would cause him to hurt worse, which would have to have more. You see how that happens? I guarantee you, if our country and our world has got anything to do with it, they have got it in mind. I want you to not be able to do just this amount and get by. I want you to have more and more and more. Amen. I know there's not a preacher around here hardly that'll preach against that, but I am, and I'm doing it now. I'm not ashamed of doing it. Are you listening? I could take you inside the confinements of an ICU unit, and I could show you a young person, my friend, that's been on those types of drugs, not for physical reasons, but for the highs and the pleasure and the numbness that comes with it. And I can show you a beautiful person, my friend, or at one time was, and those drugs has absolutely ravaged her looks and physically. Are you listening? You can go and do your own research. I've done it. Do your own research of the before and after photographs of prescription drugs or of drugs, period. And they'll show you people that before they got on it, my friend, looked young and, you know, and full of life. But then in just a short period of time afterwards, my friend, they looked like they had aged double what they were. Amen. I'm telling you, if you're lost, you need new management. Why? Your old manager, the prince and power of the air, cares nothing about you. He cares only about his agenda, and he doesn't care to destroy you. Did you know what? I want to share with you what God showed me in Sunday school this morning. You know what I am? Brother Ivan, you know what you are? All of us in here that are here, you know what we are or were? We were nothing more than sinner replacements. Sinner replacements. The old master running them through generation at a time, destroying their life, taking the majority of them to hell. And when you was born, all you did was stepped right into this position, stepped right into the place, stepped right into where another sinner used to be. Now that same old master that ruined their life is now wanting to ruin your life. You don't mean nothing to him. The devil don't care nothing about your home. You young people, the devil don't care nothing about your purity. The devil don't care nothing about your, amen. That's right. And I'm going to do my best to expose him. Amen. That's right. Amen. Oh, God, help us, amen, to do that. Help preachers to do that again. But why do you need new management? Because of the sorry job of the old one. Because of the track record of the old one. Amen. Can you name one that the old master really blessed their life? Can you show me one? No. And I know what some of your minds go to is some of them photographs you see when you're checking out at Walmart on front of those magazines. But if you took off about 2 inches of makeup off of those women, I guarantee you they'd look like they're 195 years old. And the truth is, most of those people are so hooked on drugs and alcohol, my friend, they have to take drugs to sleep, drugs to wake up, drugs to get down, drugs to get up, and everything else. Hey, man, that's not a life. Who in the world sitting on a church pew saved by the grace of God would envy that crowd? I wouldn't swap places for any of them or all of them. I wouldn't trade my position as being a child of God and a preacher of the gospel and a Christian. I wouldn't trade that for none of them. Amen. And it don't matter how popular you are. One of them just died not long ago, last week, that was very, very popular. What was his name? Did the Pirates of the Caribbean, what was his name? I'm sure some of you young girls know. You wouldn't dare answer that, though, would you? Was it Depp or Depp or Depp or Depp or something? Depp. He gone. He's in eternity. Wonder where he's at. Wonder if he'd want to swap places with some of you that's been envious of him and admiring him and, oh, huh? Reckon he'd want to come back? So Hollywood maybe wasn't too good, was it? All them millions of dollars he made must not have been too good. It didn't prevent death. It didn't keep him from leaving out in this world at a young age, friend. Are you listening to the preacher this morning? God help us. I'm talking about the old management, or past management. Look, let's go right down through these verses. You ready? Here we go. Let's go right down through these verses. First thing I see in verse number 1 that the past management performs in our life is corruption. Look in verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You wonder why our world is corrupt? It's not God's fault. It's not the church. It's not righteousness' fault. No, it's because of the prince and power of the air. The devil himself is at large in our world. Amen. Not only corruption do I see past management. And that's why you should want new management, by the way. Let me just jump ahead. That's why you should want new management is because your old manager, the one that's in charge of your life right now, that's keeping you disinterested in church, that keeps you rejecting the gospel, that keeps you, my friend, deaf toward the gospel message, he has a desire to corrupt your life. Do you realize the majority of people that are in prison today are young people? Brother Eric Peters that comes to church here he's a missionary with Rock of Ages, and he is a chaplain at the juvenile prison not far from here. I think it's around Dandridge or somewhere down in there, wherever it's at. And he tells me that they're packed. They're just absolutely packed. Who's behind that? God or the devil? The devil wants to corrupt your life. And let me just say this right here while I'm on it, on that corruption. Young people, well, all of us really, you are responsible. You are responsible for your purity. Amen. You ought to have convictions in your life of what's right and wrong, and you will not compromise them for nobody. Amen. We got several girls in here, amen, and a few boys. But I want to tell you, if a boyfriend comes in your life or a girlfriend comes in your life and all of a sudden you lower your standards and you throw your purity down and you throw your spiritual convictions aside, I want to tell you, friend, that person is not put in your life by God. That person is put in your life as an agent and as a tool of hell itself. Now think about that. Think about that, young people. Would God put somebody in my life that's going to take my spiritual life down the tubes? is, let me ask you this. Would God put somebody in my life that I'd have to backslide to stay with? Say amen right there. So young people, you are responsible for your purity. You are responsible for that. Not your parents. Yes, thank God for parents. Our job is, of course, to let them know what's right and wrong and stand our ground and teach them from the Word of God. But I'll tell you, initially, it is a girl and a boy's responsibility to tell anybody that causes them to be tempted to lay aside their purity, lay aside their godliness, my friend, to take a hike. That's right. Amen. I heard Brother Sammy Allen tell this one time, and I've told it here before. He said this young lady was dating, courting, whatever you want to call it, a boy, and they would go to church, you know, and stuff, and she was praying, Lord, is this the Lord's will, and all of that, and, you know, I don't know if he was or not, evidently not, but she was praying, you know, is this the Lord's will and all that, and in one of the services, he put his hand on her leg. She grabbed his hand, throwed it off, and said, the Lord just showed me you are not the will of God. Amen. 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 But he's cute. She's beautiful. What good is that? When you don't have any peace and there's no liberty and it's a you have to fight the tooth and nail to just go to church. I can tell you several ladies and gentlemen that supposedly while they were courting, they were spiritual. But as soon as they got married, one or the other or both wouldn't even go to church anymore. Well, I better get off that. Lord help us. Talking about the corruption. The corruption. Number two, look at verse number two, the course. The course of the old master. Where's everybody listen to the preacher? Where's the course of the old master going to lead you? Where's old management interested in taking you? Right here it says in verse number 2, wherein in times past, we that are saved, talking about our old life, old calendar, pulling that up, and we've noticed that there was corruption in verse 1. Verse 2, there is the course. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. When you were lost, and I was lost, without God, it was a normal, natural thing for me to walk according to the course of the world. Now, I want to ask you something. Why would a saved person continue to do that? Why would a saved person be interested in that? In other words, let me rephrase it a little bit, reword it a little bit, help you to see where I'm talking about. Why would a saved person want to be worldly? Why would a saved person want to continue to walk according to the course of this world? Why? A saved person should want to go contrary to that. Saved person is not on the broad road that leads to destruction. We're on the narrow path that leads to life eternal. But there's a course involved. Amen? Amen. That word walk there in verse number 2, times past you walked, that means you lived and you progressed. And you conducted yourself in that manner. Lost people are under the influence of this world. Amen. A third thing, write it down if you would, is there is the commander of the past, management. I already dealt with that some. In verse 2, it said, and we not only walk according to the course of the world, but also according to the prince of the power of the air. Notice that term, according to, mentioned twice in verse number 2. According to the course of the world. According to the prince and power of the air. You are doing accordingly. You are doing according to what? The influence and the leadership. And the leadership of your life is telling you. So there's a commander. And the reason I use that word commander is that the devil don't ask you, would it be okay if I ruin your life? He just tricks you. He just deceives you and disguises the trap until you're in it. And then he goes over through there laughing. Another one bites the dust. the commander of the past. Number four, write it down, verse number three. There is the conduct or the conversation of the past management. Look at verse number three. Among whom also we all, that's all inclusive, we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. That word conversation in verse 3 means conduct. Amen? Means conduct. The devil doesn't care how you act or behave. The more weird, the better he likes it. In fact, our country's about there now. I believe we'll see the day that being a Christian will be a criminal offense. I'm talking about a Christian as the Bible presents it. I believe it'll be a criminal offense. Amen. Some of you have probably seen some of that that I got into on Facebook with them lesbians. How many saw that? Anybody read in that? Son, I was letting them have it, and buddy, you talking about stirring a hornet's nest. Great Lord have mercy. Amen. I ain't afraid. Why? It's sin. It's wicked. It's ungodly. Listen, it doesn't matter if our country is condoning it. It doesn't matter if our legislation and the governmental leadership of our country thinks it's a wonderful thing. I want to tell you it's not. It's wicked. It's an abomination. Amen. That's right. Amen. But why do they act that way? It's not natural. Hello, this is on tape, friend. Amen. It is not natural. You are not born that way. Amen. You say, preacher, what got you into that war last week, them lesbians? A young boy that used to sit right over here on one of these pews that rode our van is on there with holding a big sign that he made at school that he was for the equality of marriage. That fired me up. If it hadn't have been him, I may not even have said a word, but I'm telling you, that fired me up. And of course, when I got fired up, that crowd got fired up. Amen. God help us. I'm telling you, that's right. Conduct. Why do you act the way you do? If you're, hey, come on, help a preacher now. If your old manager, you that are lost, if your old manager, the devil, the one that used to run my life and, amen, was in charge of my life and management of my life, amen, if he is all that, why do you act like you do? Why do you act like you do? Amen. Who's making children rebellious toward their parents? Who's doing that? Who's causing children to lie and cheat on their test and steal, amen? Who's behind that? I'll tell you who's behind that. Your old manager, my old manager, and still your present manager, the devil. Amen. Well, I'm having a good time whether anybody else is or not, amen? I'm trying to expose him, amen? That's right. Why do you act the way you do if your manager's good to you and everything's wonderful? Amen. That's right. Hello. And then number three, write this down. Number five, there in verse number three, write down the word cravings. The Bible said, among whom we all had our conversation in times past, the lust of the flesh. Watch that. Did you see that? In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Can I ask you, if your old manager, the devil, the prince and power of the air, if he is a great thing, why is he putting desires in you to do things that's going to destroy your home? That's going to do things that's going to hurt your church and disrespect your family. Huh? Look at the cravings. Look at the desires that you have. And it doesn't take much evaluation to discern who it is that gave you those cravings. But then notice this. This is probably the worst one. And it's the end result. Write down the word condemnation. The Bible says, and of the fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. even as others. You know what he's saying? The old manager is putting you in alignment with the wrath of God. Now that don't sound like a good manager to me, church. Does it you? Do you think a good parent would be a good parent if they pushed their child out in front of a train? No, you'd say that, oh, that's mean, preacher. That's terrible. That's awful that a parent would do that. Well, that's what the devil's doing. That's what the devil's doing to this young generation when he's pushing them out into the pool of sin and drugs and immorality and fornication and all of that. He's pushing you out, getting you in alignment with the wrath of God. Putting you in a position to where the wrath of God is going to target you. That's not a good manager, if you ask me. You need a new manager. That's what you need. Hey, man, you need a new manager. Look at verse 4. But God. Verse 1, 2, and 3. The old manager or past management has been exposed for what he is. Thank God. Listen, that's why I love the Word of God. It tells the truth. It don't water it down. It does not cover it up. It doesn't smooth it over and try to make the devil just kind of look like a bad guy. No, friend. Listen, the Bible has shown us in verse 1, 2, and 3, the past management will ruin and destroy your life. Look at number 2. You write it down. Number 2. We're making some good ground here. Number 2, I'm going to talk about the present management. The present management. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know what those two words starting out verse 4 is telling us? But God. Comes down through 1, 2, and 3 talking about the devil and the effects of sin on our life as a lost person. Right. Amen. Oh yes. Amen. And listen, Brother Silas, verse 1, 2, and 3, he's still talking to saved people. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sin. You know what he was saying? Hey, as a saved person, I want you to know never to entertain the thought of backing up, never entertain the thought of going back, because that same old management desires to ruin your life still yet. And Brother Ivan, if I gave the devil an inch, he'd become my ruler. If I give him a little bit of slackness, he would destroy me today. In fact, I'm convinced more than ever the devil wants to destroy me. I believe that. I'm convinced of that. I feel that and I sense that almost on a daily basis. The devil targeting Preacher Rackley. Are you listening? Amen. But you know what? I'm kindly glad he hates me. Amen. Amen. Now listen, don't misunderstand me. I'm no match for him. Don't you think Preacher Rackley can handle him? Preacher Rackley can't handle him. No. But I belong to new management now, praise God. And for the devil to have to deal with me, he's going to have to deal with management. Amen. He's going to have to deal with the boss. Oh, yeah. Amen. I'm from North Carolina, and we used to preach a lot of tent meetings down there. Down at Brother Pridmore around Brevard area. And there used to be a fella in the Brevard area, and he would show up to all the tent meetings. He'd show up to all the revival meetings. And he wasn't known for saying amen or hallelujah. You know what he'd say? He'd stand up. He the boss. He the boss. He'd stand on the side of the road with a sign pointing up. He's the boss. He's the boss. I go to a lot of churches and I really wonder, is he the boss? Amen? I look at a lot of people today that profess to be saved, and I wonder, is he really the boss? But I want the devil to know, hey, big boy, you mess with me, I'm nothing, but I've got a buddy. I've got a boss. I've got a master. I've got a pal. Hey, and we're in a blood covenant. And if you mess with me, he's going to get with you. And by the way, he's already whipped you, big boy. You know it. Hallelujah. Amen. When I was in high school, elementary school all the way through, I wasn't big as a gnat. That wasn't no exaggeration. I didn't have but one stripe in my pajamas. That's about it. And amen. I could get out of the rain underneath the clothesline. That's about it. But you know what? I got picked on a lot. Probably brought it on, but I got picked on a lot. Amen. Because they knew it wouldn't take much to whip a little flimsy thing like me. But I learned a trick long early in the school years. Pick me some big buddies. Hey man, I learned that a long time ago. And it didn't take long for that to go through the school. We better not mess with Barry. We could just flip him with our pinky and break about four of his ribs, amen. But we better not mess with him, because if we mess with him, Tony's coming. Tony will find out. Amen. Dude will find out. Amen. He was from Florida. We just called him Dude. Florida Dude. Dude. Still call him that. Are you listening? And you know what? People didn't mess with me much thereafter. It wasn't because they was afraid of me. I still didn't weigh hardly 90 pounds soaking wet. But you know what? They was afraid of those that I had made covenant with. We're going to be buddies. But you see, oh Lord help me. You see, Brother Kruchko, I came out on the good end of that deal. Although I was their buddy, what enemy's going to fear me? Hey, don't mess with Dude. His buddy's Barry. Hey, little, weak, flimsy, Barry. See, so I was on the good end of the deal. I didn't have to do none of their fighting, and they did all of mine. I like that. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Jackie, I don't have to do none of the Lord's fighting. Thank God the battle is the Lord's, amen. But he does all of mine, praise God. And there's never been an enemy. There's never been a battle that he's walked away from and shook his head and said, I can't handle that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm about to get happy. Amen. Well, thank God. God is telling us in verse 4, it's time for a management change. But God, who is rich in mercy. Oh, glory to God. Do you remember when that happened? Can you remember? Can you reflect back when that happened? Listen, I'm meeting people that can't remember when they got saved. Now, I'm not talking about if it was on Tuesday or Saturday or Sunday or June or July. I'm talking about they don't recall ever a time that they were under conviction and that God dealt with them about their sin and their need of a Savior, and they did business with God about that issue. You've not always been saved. You didn't evolve into it. You weren't educated into it. You listen, you can't go through enough catechisms and all of that and training and just develop into being saved. The Bible calls it what it is. It's a new birth. You weren't always here physically. You were here when you had a physical birth that put you into this world. And so it is. You're saved. You're born again when you've experienced a new birth. A new birth. Well, I tell you, that blesses me right there. God says, it's time for a management change. Oh, glory. Some of you listen, you're going to have to come back tonight. You're going to have to come back tonight. It's going to get gooder and gooder. That's not good English. But you know what I don't see here? Hello? I've got readers. I don't use them much, hardly. But you know what, reading right down through here? I never see where God comes to the devil, the prince and power of the air, and says, would it be all right? Can I have permission? Mm-mm. You know what happens? I've got to preach one point of it. You're going to have to let me preach one. I've got several. You're going to have to let me preach part of that. Amen. On this present management, here's the first thing I notice. Look at verse 4 now. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. The first thing I notice is that in this present management is that it involves a gracious interruption. A gracious intervention. But God. You know what that says? God butted in. You were lost. You were headed to hell. Your old manager had every intention of taking you there with himself. But God. God butted in. Now, when we butt into somebody's conversation, that's rude. But when God butts in, that's called requirement. That's called redemption. Brother Bob, do you realize that you and me would still be lost, still be in sin, if not already in hell, if it hadn't have been for verse 4? You know, Brother Ivan, you would have still been in verse 1, 2, and 3. You couldn't get out of it. You was walking according to the course of the world, course of the prince and power of the air. You was, amen, you were being controlled by the devil himself, and you'd have still been in verse 1, 2, and 3, if not in hell. But thank God, God butted in. God intervened. God interrupted. Brother Brian, you remember that? Saved folk in here, do you remember that? Brother Brad, do you remember that? When you was doing your own thing, you thought really you was doing the devil's thing. Brother Gary, do you remember that? Do you remember that? Oh, that you were in sin and you was living for sin as I was. Amen. And I went to church that night because it was just a thing we did at our house. But I wasn't saved. And I slid in on about the fifth row back on this side, Middle Fork Baptist Church in outside of Rosman, North Carolina. And God got to dealing with my heart that night. Living in sin. Loving it. Hello, you listening? Living for it. Making plans daily to get in it. Get more in it. Get more of it. But something happened that night at church I wasn't looking for. I didn't expect. Mama was expecting it because she'd been praying. Daddy's expecting it because he had been praying. But I didn't expect it. I was looking at that course, according to the course of the world, according to the prince of power of the air. And I was sitting there, amen, just minding my own business with my girlfriend right beside of me, you know. And all of a sudden, Brother Randy Bain gets in that pulpit and he gets to preaching on the memorials of Exodus. And the second one, that was the second night of that revival, the second one is Exodus 12, the memorial of the Passover, escaping the judgment and wrath of God by the blood of a sacrificial lamb. Do you not see the gospel in that? And I sat in that same church where I had sat for 20 years. I'd sat there and heard preaching and amen, all kind of Bible exposure. But there was something happened that night. Something got a hold of me, amen. Someone got a hold of me. I want to tell you, God, amen, showed me that I had church membership, but I did not have Him. I had a Christian and a godly heritage, but I did not have Him. Amen. I'd made a profession. I had a baptismal certificate, but I did not have Him. And God drew me, Brother Krutschko, to an old-fashioned altar where I did business with God that changed my life from then till now. 32 years this month. In fact, the good Lord willing, if Jesus don't come and I'm still alive, I'll be standing right in this pulpit on January the 20th, The day I got saved is on a Sunday this year. Amen. Just keep the house cleaned out. Amen. If you get in the house, make sure you're going the same way I am, or you might get run over. Amen. Thank God for January the 20th. When I met the master, the old management was fired. Amen. He won't resign. He won't resign in your life. He won't retire in your life. That old devil, the only way he's going to get out of business in your life is if you get a new manager and he gets fired. You're to tell him. You're to tell him, devil, you are fired. I'm not paying you another dime. You're fired. You have no say-so in my life no more. You're fired. You're not picking my friends. You're fired. You're not telling me what to do. You're fired. I've got a new management now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. His name is Jesus. And he's got a wonderful track record. Everybody that serves under him loves him. Hallelujah, Sister Hayes. Everybody that serves under him loves him. Amen. I've been in this way this month, it'll be 32 years. I've never met one yet. Not one yet, Brother Gary, that said to me, it was a mistake. I shouldn't have never got saved. Jesus is the worst thing that ever happened to me. I've never met one. Looked like there would be one somewhere. I'd have met them by now. Brother Brad, we would have met them by now, wouldn't we? Brother Crusco, you've been preaching a long time. Wouldn't we have met them if there was such a creature? Brother Pridmore, you can go to Haiti, you'll never find one. I've been to the Philippines, never found one. I've been to Honduras, never found one. I've been to New Mexico, never found one. I've been to Rogersville, Tennessee, and I've never found one. Why? Thank God I love what he did for me. I love what he is still doing for me. He's a wonderful manager. I recommend him to you. He's never lied to me. He's never pulled a shady deal. He's never told me to do anything that would be detrimental to my life and family. And church. I'm about to blow a fuse. Don't you think it's something to get excited about? Preach, I think Lord kind of just going to be reverent in the house of God. I think I am being pretty reverent. I'm worshiping him. I'm honoring him for changing my life. If it hadn't have been for that verse 4, that divine interruption and that divine intervention, hallelujah, that gracious intervention, Preacher Rackley wouldn't be Preacher Rackley. I'd still be in North Carolina if not already in hell. But I'm up here telling you that what he's done for me, he can do for you. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm about to get excited. Amen. I don't have to drink nothing to get excited. I used to, Brother Rob, before I got saved, I'd have to go to a bar stool because I thought Miller Lowlife and Bud Stupid, you know, had something for me. But that wasn't nothing, no. Oh, one trip to an old-fashioned altar of repentance and faith and salvation. I got up drinking from a well that'll never run dry. Salvation that still thrills my soul. Glory to God. Miss Hayes, how long you been saved? 65 years. You act like you're bored with it. 65 years. That's longer than I am old. And she's here having herself a glorified spell. You know what that's telling us? Sweeter gets the journey. Every day serving Jesus really pays. I get happy in this heavenly way. Sweeter gets the journey every day. Bless his holy name. I'm looking at people that wouldn't be in church today if God had not have intervened in your life. Sitting here today or used to be drunks. Sitting here today or used to be dope smokers. Used to be. You say, why are you saying used to be? Because that's what it is. Amen. Used to be past management. We're under present management now. Amen. And God is sending the message this morning. If you're here lost without God, or if you're here and you say you're saved, but yet you're trying to hold hands with the world a little bit and hold hands with the church a little bit and trying to straddle the fence, trying to go in the middle of the road, I want you to know you'll never be happy doing that. You've got to get completely out of verse 1, 2, and 3. You've got to get out of those verses. God never intended for you to be in those verses. And let me make a bold statement right here. You cannot still be in verse 1, 2, and 3 and go to heaven.
Right.
Amen. Don't tell me you're saved, you're still serving the God of this world. Don't tell me you're saved, my friend, when your desires are all for the lust of the flesh and the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Amen. Don't tell me that, friend. I know better. I know what God did for me. Now, those little dime store professions I made, brother, at 8, 9 years old, didn't change my life, didn't put any conviction and guilt in my life when sin was in my life. Hey, they're everywhere. It's a dime a dozen. But when I got birthed in the family of God, I'm going to tell you what saved people can't do. Enjoy sin.